As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Hello, this is Mike Young. Welcome to our show. We're going to be talking today about renovation loans and what's in it for me, the realtor. There's thousands of 203K seminars given every week across the nation, and most of it starts out with about 25, 30 minutes of look at me, what we're doing, and not so much what you're doing and what your needs are. So we're going to put a twist on that, and we're going to talk about what's in it for you, the consultant. Excuse me, the realtor. So what's in it for the realtor? The realtor can really actually build a business all around the 203K if they choose to. One thing that we've had excellent work with, or a lot of complaints originally and turned it into a good thing, is how many times has a realtor been beat out when they bring a buyer to a house and that buyer is purchasing it to live in it, and lo and behold, some all-cash investor comes in and at the last minute says, hey, I got cash, I got all cash, and they buy the house out from under you. Whenever I ask that at a real estate association meeting, they always tell me that that's always been a problem. Well, we suggest that you use an all-cash-to-seller offer letter with it. And to get a copy of that letter, just have to send me an email at information or info at 203konline.com and ask for that all-cash-to-seller offer letter, and we'll show you how to write that. And the reason you do that is because you want the borrower to understand that your offer is also all cash to the seller. Every purchase, every sale in America that's ever happened from day one has been all cash to the borrower. They shouldn't care whether it comes from a bank or if it comes from the borrower's own pocketbook or anything else. And quite often, your client is offering more money than that investor is. He's coming in and saying all cash and confusing the seller to some degree on purpose so that they can use their all cash and clean that deal out in 5 or 10 days. But if they wait 30 days, they're going to make an extra $50,000. And how often do they make $50,000 in 30 days? Chances are they've never made $50,000 in 30 days. Some of them might only make $50,000 every year. So this is a good thing for you to add to your offer whenever you're doing that, an all-cash-to-seller offer letter. So let's look at some of the things and the reasons you should be learning and doing 203Ks or any of their sister products like the VA renovation loan or the Fannie Mae home style loan. You can create your own inventory. When everybody else is whining about low inventory, I gave this seminar earlier this week, and I said that. They said, yeah, like right now, low inventory is only in your head. You know, if you're only looking at the MLS, then you're going to have low inventory from time to time. I was visiting a lender friend of mine in Modesto, California, a couple years ago when he said, I've got 105 borrowers, all pre-qualified, ready to buy a home, and there are no homes available. We have a real housing shortage. The inventory is extremely low. So I got on the telephone with a realtor friend of mine and his wife and asked them if they had some houses. We got 105 borrowers, when they also informed me that there was no inventory. I informed them, I'll call you back in a little while, and I got off the phone, and I dialed another friend of mine in Modesto, who is a wholesaler of distressed real estate. So I got him on the phone, put him on the speaker, and I said, you know, I just drove through town, and I noticed, gosh, I think there was 40 or 50 boarded-up houses here in Modesto that I spotted in a short drive around that I did. Do you happen to have any distressed properties you're trying to sell in Modesto? And he says, well, you know, Mike, I live here now. And, I've got personally about 125 of them. And I said, you're kidding. You got 125. I got 105 borrowers ready to buy the houses. And he says, well, I'd prefer not to sell to them. I'd rather sell to an investor or someone else. But I've got one you can have for $25,000 all cash. And it's worth about $250 all fixed up and about $58,000 to fix it up. And I thought to myself, geez, that sounds perfect. And you've got 125 of them like this? He says, yes, sir. So I hung the phone up, and it's all in where you look. You know, if you're only looking at the MLS, then yes, you're going to have some low inventory from time to time. But if you drive around your community and you see boarded up houses, for sale or not, if they're boarded up, somebody don't give a darn about them. Find out who owns it and go buy it. Don't limit yourself to only the MLS for your searches. Think out of the box just a little bit, please. Another thing you can do is that on the MLS, there's always properties that nobody wants. They're either too small. Maybe it's a one-bedroom, one-bath house, and your clients are all looking for three-bedroom, two-baths as a minimum. Well, that's, again, where you come in with the FHA 203K, and you make that house what they want. So if you've got a one-bedroom, one-bath, turn it into a three-bedroom, two-bath, or a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath. You have so much latitude with the renovation loan that you can do these kind of things and give your client what they need when no one else is looking, no one else is paying attention to what's going on. Another way you can do things is, if any of you out there are selling residential mixed-use buildings or commercial buildings, standalone, freestanding commercial buildings, then you have been doing that at about, what, 35% down? 35% down payment. Lo and behold, how about if you turned it into a 203K, it's 3.5% down instead of 35% down. You can take an old warehouse that's sitting in an area where there's mixed-use buildings and turn it into a live-work situation. A live-work situation. So there's so many things. You just have to open your eyes to see these things. But I'm telling you, you could do this anywhere in America. And I can't believe the number of realtors that tell me, well, there's just no mixed use in our area. BS. That's not true. If you walk down or drive down any downtown area, particularly the older towns, you're going to see commercial buildings with residential above. They're all over San Francisco. They're all over Oakland. And when I was back in North Carolina, they're all over Charlotte. They're all over Stallings, Matthews. They're in Columbia, South Carolina. Every city in America has mixed-use buildings. But unless you're tuned into seeing them, you may not. Commercial buildings also include buildings that are 5 to 8 unit buildings, maybe 5 to 10 unit buildings. If there's some problems because they are all studios, those get to be problematic after a while. They're hard to rent out to studios. People just don't hang in there like they would on a 3-4 bedroom units. So take a five-unit building where it can be zoned, or the zoning would allow it to be a four-unit building, and turn it into a four-unit building. Berkeley, California is unique. You cannot take a rental unit out of production without putting another rental unit in production to offset the one you're removing. So years ago, we had one that was a five-unit building. Never should have been. It was a fourplex. It was zoned fourplex, and this guy scabbed took one of the bedrooms and turned it into another unit and put it on the rent rolls, and lo and behold, even though it was not zoned for a fiveplex, it was zoned as a four, but it had five rental units that were in production according to their rent control board, and he wanted to take one out of production. Luckily, at the time, I had another guy who was taking an old house that had no foundation, and he lifted it up in the air to put a foundation, but he also lifted it high enough to put a whole second unit below it. It was zoned for multiple units. It had a carriage house in the back, so he turned the carriage house into live-work, and he put a second unit in the front, and we had him go down with us to the city hall, actually to the building inspection department, and we explained we want to take a unit out of production here. It never should have been allowed in the first place. It was done without permits, likely, because they wouldn't have let him do it because of the zoning, except they did. And we're replacing it with a unit over here at this address just three or four blocks away. The guy behind the counter got a little bit flushed, and he said, well, they don't seem to know each other. And I said, well, they both know me, and you're either going to do it or not. You want one to be replaced if we're taking a unit out of production, and we're looking to replace it with this one over here, one of these that this guy's putting in. And the guy came back, got his color back to him, and he says, well, I love it. I love the community working together to make these things happen. So, yes, absolutely you can do that. So it was fun. It was interesting to see. And it worked. So we've got a commercial standalone building that hasn't been rented in years, or maybe it has been. We also have several other things we'll get back to right after this minute. Let's take a break. Boy, this time is flying fast. So we'll be right back with you in just a moment.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now, and let's fix your problems.
Hey, we're back. Call in. If you want to call in and be part of the show, dial 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008, and be part of the program. Glad to have you back, and let's get back to where we were. We're looking at what's in it for me, the realtor, with these 203Ks, and why in the world should we even get involved with them? They seem to be sticky, messy, and if you've ever heard that they're problematic, well, they're not. You've heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody who had a problem, and yes, there are a few that are problematic, and you have to understand that that's going to happen. But they're only like one or two out of 100 that cause problems or have problems that are a little bit time-consuming. Recognize that. And if you happen to get that one on your first or second one, just realize you're going to have 98 more that are going to be problem-free. Okay, so they're not that bad. We had an interesting deal a few years ago. That this elderly woman, a sweetheart of a lady, called and said that she had a 8-unit building in Richmond, California, that was vacant and gutted, and she had it for years and has been paying the taxes on it, and she was behind on her taxes a little bit. She owed $2,500, and she would be tickled pink if she could sell that place and get the taxes and pay those taxes before she died. She was 95 years old, had no heirs, but she did not want to leave this earth owing any taxes. And I had to ask her, I said, do you mean $2,500 would buy this building from you? She says, yeah, absolutely. That's all I want is the money to pay the taxes. I said, it's sold. And I called one person. Of course, they bought it. I wasn't buying real estate at that time. For me, we always take care of our clients before we take anything on our own. Doesn't mean we haven't bought and sold over 300 buildings. But what we have done is we took that, and we did at the time we had figured about $150,000, $125,000, $150,000 to completely fix it up and reconfigure it. Because it had been vacant so many years and wasn't providing housing for anybody, the city was quite happy to let us change it to a fourplex. So we did. We changed eight studio units, took them out, reconfigured that building into a four units. Three four-bedroom units, turned out, and one three-bedroom unit. And my client was very, very gentle person. He was a true gentleman, a gentleman. And in his case, I didn't think that he could be a landlord. Being a drill sergeant in the United States Army, I had a unique ability to be a landlord, too. And when I was 16, I started managing some of my father's properties. And he had, about 18 units, I guess. And I would collect the rent for him because he was out of the area. I did all the evictions and all that. So I'd been doing it a long time. But this young man, he was just too sweet, too nice of a guy. And so I went down to the housing authority, which is a very interesting way to rent your properties, by the way. Excuse me. So we checked with the housing authority, and the gal that ran that at that time was Mrs. Brown in our area. And she saw me and came out to the desk. Said, Mr. Young, what rules do you want to break this time? And I had to laugh. I said, I've never broken any rules ever. And I said, but I've got 3 four-bedroom units. Do you need any? And there was about 20 caseworkers behind her. And when I said that, every one of them looked up from their desk and was shaking their head, yes. Oh, excuse me again. Anyway, so I knew they had a need for 4-bedroom units, absolutely. And I told her, I said, the problem that we have is that my client is not really a landlord type. I don't think that he could ask for the money and get it. People would give him a bad time and run roughshod over a good person. So what I'm proposing is that the housing authority actually give us 100% of the rent. And he doesn't collect anything from the tenant. You people collect all that money because you're controlling their money anyway. So you have first access to it. And the problem that we have is that some active Section 8 tenants actually understand the process better than most landlords. And they know that if the rent is $2,000 a month, and their portion is only $150 a month, and they don't pay it, the landlord may not be planning to evict them. He may not want to. The minute he starts the eviction, the Section 8 money is cut off. Even though they're still living there, and it takes 30 to 60 days to get them out, it makes it a little bit tough on the landlord, because now he can't collect his rent, and housing authority is not going to pay their share. And that's wrong, but that's the way the system has been working. So what I said is you collect their money. That's the only fair way to do this thing, so that they're not going to run roughshod over my landlord. And she didn't think they could do that. And I said, well, okay, well, you must not need 4-bedroom units as bad as I heard you did. And before I hit the door, she said, you know what, let me go up the chain and see if we can get that approved. And a couple of days later, she did call back and say that, yeah, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to do it as a trial and see how it happens, what happens, and see if it can be done and so forth. And it was done, and it was very good for my tenant, for my landlord, rather. It's good for the tenants, too, because it gave 3 more 4-bedroom units in an area they desperately needed them. Now, so we got another project. So anything 5 to 8 units, 5 to 10 units, 5 units and up is considered commercial real estate. So you have to be sure the zoning will allow you to turn it back into a 4-unit building, 1 to 4. Some of those, because they're so small, may be only a duplex when you're all finished, 2 4-bedroom units or 2 5-bedroom units. We gave a seminar years ago, and one of the we had it open to the public. There was about 1,000 people in the room, and we got to the point of the seminar where I said, is there anybody out here looking for a house to buy in this area? And a prospective home buyer raised their hand. He said, yes, we've been desperate trying to find at least a 5-bedroom home, and there just doesn't seem to be any. And I said, that sounds interesting. And I had an investor at that time, when investors were allowed. I think this was about 1998. And that investor had been just talking to me about their 5-bedroom unit, and they couldn't get rid of it, 5 or 6-bedroom unit. He was having trouble selling it because it had too many bedrooms. So right there in that seminar, we hooked these two people together and had them go look at that house and purchase it. So another commercial building that you have that nobody notices is mixed-use buildings, where you have a commercial building sitting by itself, and it's 100% commercial. Well, we can't finance that. You're going to ask 35% down in most cases, typically. What we have, though, is if you'll just add residential to it, or add a second story, or take the second story and turn it into residential use, we can finance that for you at about 3.5% down. A 3.5% down payment versus a 35% down payment is a big deal. How many commercial buildings can you sell with 3.5% down? Your sales should skyrocket. I love it when these people tell me that they're in the commercial buildings and they're selling them all day, every day, and they never did a 203K. Interesting. Makes you wonder just how many they're selling and how many they could sell. If they're good salespeople, they can probably sell a bunch of them at 3.5% down. Today, you'd have to live in one of those units. Okay. We had one in San Francisco that the young man that owned it called me, and he said that his father had given him this building when he passed away, and he'd been had it for over 20 years, and he never had any residential people in the upstairs. It was gutted. It was gutted when he was given the property by his dad, and when his dad passed away, and it was still gutted. So we went up there and took a walk around, and he was right. There was no copper piping. There was no electrical anymore. It's just perfect for renovating. and there was three stories, as I recall, above a store. So we looked at reconfiguring it. He was a very simple person, he said. His words, not mine. And he currently lived in a small condo in Colma, California, which is known for its people, his graveyards, cemeteries. That's what it's known for. In fact, when he told me he lived there, I thought, wow, I didn't know anybody lived there. But apparently there is some condos and houses there too. But primarily it's highways, parking lots, and cemeteries. But he said, all I need upstairs is I'd like to have a condo, a small unit. Not a condo, but a small single studio for me. And I said, well, I walked through it and I looked and I think we can get a complete four-bedroom flat on the first floor above the store and another four-bedroom flat above that. And then your studio and a three-bedroom unit on the third floor. And he said, that sounds good. Any idea what those would rent for? And so I laid it out. At that time, you could rent a four-bedroom flat in San Francisco for about $2,600 a month. Today, you could double that or triple that. But the fun part of this is when I said, you got two four-bedrooms at $2,600 a month, that's $5,200, and then you've got the three-bedroom at another $2,000, so you got $7,300. And his eyes were welling up, and I'm thinking, are you okay? And he says, and he burst into tears. He said, I never in my life thought I could retire. And it looks like I've been sitting on my retirement and doing nothing with it for all these years. How much would it cost to do all this work? And I said, well, my rough estimate, and we'll have to refine it, of course, but my rough estimate is that we're going to take about $250,000 to renovate this place and turn it into what you're hoping for. And he said, the payments on that? I said, well, it's not going to be more than about $2,600 a month, maybe $500 or $1,000 more for taxes. So you're going to have a positive cash flow. And that's when the tears really hit him, because it hit sunk home that for 20 years, he could have done this 20 years earlier and been retired for the last 20 years. But now he saw his retirement ahead of him. His cousin wanted the store down below, so he's going to sell the store to his cousin. And then he'll live above it in his little studio. He had to pick the front corner so he could see down three different streets from his studio window. And when his cousin had to go shopping, he could go down there and actually run the store. So anyway, we're going to take another short break. We appreciate you being here. And if you would, hang on 1 second here. If you want to be part of the show, feel free to call in at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after this short break.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com and you'll be glad you did.
I think we're back. Call 888-627-6008 if you want to be part of the show. We love to have your questions. It makes the show more interesting when you do that for us. In any case, let's look at what we are, where we are. So we've got commercial properties, standalone buildings, just add on some residential. You've got mixed-use buildings that already exist. I know one city in California that has over 21 city-owned mixed-use buildings that they would love to give away to the right people if they can get in there and buy them. So if you want to know what city that is, give me an email at mike@203konline.com and ask about those mixed-use buildings, what city has them. At one point, I thought about going in and buying all 21 of them. But I don't do that anymore. At 70 years old, it's time for me to kick back and let you kids have it. So increase your own housing inventory. Look for homes that can be added on to. We talked about that. Make it what your client needs. So if your client's looking for a three-bedroom, two-bath home, and all you have is one-bedroom, one-bath homes, they're going to get effectively a brand new home for most of it. And what's still there is going to be renovated. In the early, the mid-90s, all the way through 1998, one of our clients offered an advertisement in the Hispanic media, live rent-free in America. Live rent-free in America. How in the world can you do that, and why isn't it being done more right now? Those are my questions. There's no reason for someone to have a problem paying their rent if they can afford to buy a house. Okay? So what happens is the buyer lives in one unit. Yeah, because this is a FHA 203K, they have to live in one unit. There's no more investors allowed. So you have a tenant that buys this fourplex. He lives in one unit, and their family lives in the other three units. Two of those units will typically pay the mortgage, and the fourth unit will pay for your groceries for the month, or pretty darn close to it. And when you have that situation, you are living rent-free in America. Now, there is no reason that this can't be done wherever you find colleges, universities. Buy a fourplex. Let your buy it, and you are going to college, so maybe your dad and mother or family members go in with you. So you're the qualifying person who's going to live in the house. You're the student, and you're going to have three other units that you rent out, and you're going to be having a little cash cow of your own, maybe even pay for your education as you go. By renting to family, in your case, if you're a college student and you're renting to other college students, their parents are in the same place. They're trying to figure out how to help you get what you need, get that schooling done, and have a housing while you're there. So there's a lot of that can be done, and you're building equity. So when you graduate in 4 years or 6 years or whatever it might be, depending on what you're going to be, that building can be sold at a profit. Every building that I've ever owned that sold 3 or 4 years later brought back all the money I paid in the mortgage, and many of them more. So you can turn a situation into a cash cow, okay? So let's look at those things. Don't think in the box all the time. If you're looking to rent a apartment, why not buy that apartment, okay? If you can afford to rent it, you can probably afford to buy it. So let's get out there, open your minds up a little bit, think out of the box. If you're trying to sell a fourplex in Berkeley or Portland or wherever there's a university, you're going to find students that want to rent those room by room. Okay, so you may turn around and rent them room by room. SRO, single room occupancy. All right. Now, why else would you want to be, as a realtor, what's in it for me, is our topic today. So we have an appraisal comes in a little low. You got a conventional sale of a single family or 1-4 unit building, 2-4 unit building, and the appraisal comes in a little bit low, let's say 5-10% low. If this is an FHA 203K, it's built into the program. It's part of the guideline that we bump the appraisal or can bump the appraisal 10%. So if your appraisal came in low 5%, just use that feature. You're not 5% low, you're 5% over. But it's up to 10%. So being it's up to 10%, they would bump it 5% if you're only 5% low and you still closed the loan, you haven't lost a deal. So let's say that it comes in 20% low. Go back and renegotiate the purchase price. The value isn't there. But if you go back before and say, can I get 20% off the price? You're too high by 20%. Your seller may tell you to go pound sand somewhere because they're not going to come down 20%. But if you're a negotiator, like you should be in the real estate business, go back and suggest that, look, the appraisal came in 20% low. My borrower is willing to come up 10% if you'll come down 10%. But every life is a negotiation. Real estate is a negotiation. It's constantly negotiating this and that. So by having that 10% bump in the appraised value by FHA 203K, you have another option to negotiate. All right, so let's say it was a conventional loan. It wasn't the 203K that you're working on, and it comes in 10% low. Change it. Turn it into an FHA 203K, possibly a limited 203K, and fix that broken window in the back. What? There isn't a broken window in the back? Come on, you can fix that. I didn't say that. Who said that? Anyway, so you have some real potential in saving some deals that come in a little low when the appraisal comes in low by changing it to an FHA 203K. Increased your housing inventory, look for those commercial buildings that stand alone, and add, if the zoning will allow, add that unit. Add a living area on a second, third floors. Put another floor or two on it, if the zoning will allow it, and most zoning will allow it. So what happens now, you've got a commercial building, stands alone, as long as you can turn it into mixed-use buildings, you can go up to 4 residential units above a commercial building, and it fits the mixed-use criteria for the FHA products. Now, not all FHA lenders that do 203K will do the mixed-use building. Why is beyond me, but they won't. So you may have to shop around and find a lender that will do the mixed-use building for you, even with the FHA. So you may have to change lenders at some point. But the cool thing is that you're going to have 1-4 residential units above a commercial unit. That's cool. The appraiser is going to appraise this as if you have 4 residential units, he's going to appraise it and compare it to other 4 unit buildings, other fourplexes. Hopefully, he'll find a mixed-use building to add to his appraisal or her appraisal, but they are going to use those 4 units and the income from those 4 units, 100% of it times 0.75 or 75% of the actual rents can be used to enhance the income from the borrower and help them qualify. 75% of the actual rents from those units is going to be used to enhance their income qualification. And that's pretty cool. No money from the commercial rents will be considered at all towards helping their qualification. That money is just over and above. So that gives it a little bit of wiggle room, if you will. When it's rented out, it'll be something that enhances their ability to pay the payments. The appraiser is going to look at that building area as part of the building area for comparison to other fourplexes. So if the four residential units have a total of maybe 5,000 square feet, and the commercial's another 2,500 square feet, then that 2,500 square feet of the commercial will be added and be part of the building's makeup for comparison to the other fourplexes. So you can actually compare it to larger fourplexes than what yours is based on the building area. So we're coming up on the break at 144, 143. So let's take another little break, and then we'll finish today off. If you want to be part of the show when we get back, you can call us at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203k911.com. We know what to do.
Hey, back with you. This is Mike Young talking today about why realtors should learn about the renovation loans at all. What's in it for me? And that's really what it's all about, is what's in it for you as a realtor? What's in it for your client? There's so many different things you can do. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. Okay, commercial buildings. Not only commercial, but industrial buildings. We had a very good example. We did a few years back on 38th Avenue in Oakland, California. It was a brick industrial building. It was a garage. It had two ugly garage roll-up doors and a man door. What we ended up doing was turning that into live-work. And the people who bought that place still are there. I was so tickled to see that, because you never know about these houses. And it had been years since I'd been by, but I drove by the other day to take a picture of it for one of my blog posts. And I shot the picture, and I noticed the front door was open. So I walked over to it and stuck my head in the door, hoping to find out if they knew the people that had bought the building before them. And when I stuck my head in the door, they peeked up, "Oh my God, it's Mike Young." And it was kind of exciting. It was fun to see them. It's fun to see them right there, still in the building. I'd asked for some old pictures if they had them anymore. I'd lost mine in a tornado when I was running the office in Charlotte, North Carolina. We had a tornado that tore us apart and took a lot of our archives with it back in 2008. So anyway, they were still there, still happily using their building, living and working out of the same building. What they did was they took it and cut it right down the middle. So they had two live-work areas. They left both roll-up doors intact, and as they rolled their roll-up door up, they could drive their trucks in and out to perform their work needs. And on the other side, as that door came up, it was a regular commercial storefront. But it had that big roll-up door in front of it that made it very secure at night. So here we got, why should you learn about renovation loans? It's because you have so many possibilities. We talked about inventory being low like it is right now. In many areas around the country, it's a seller's market. As soon as he puts it up at any price, it's sold tomorrow, sometimes the same day. Well, what about looking for things that everybody else isn't looking for? Look for the warehouses that are it kind of been surrounded and residential has grown in, closed the door. Residential has closed in around it, and it's an ideal place for live work or to turn into residential. So I see that warehouses is live work. Add residential to commercial up to 4 units. That's a good thing. Look for 5 to 8 unit buildings. Turn them into 1 to 4 unit buildings. You can take a single family house and turn it into a duplex. If you've got a great big single family house, whatever. Not too long ago, I was out to do it was a mansion. It was huge. It was like 5-story house. They had a full ceiling height in the attic, and they had brought stairs up to it without permits, and then it was foreclosed upon. But it's right near the college in Berkeley. It would have been ideal SRO. So there's no reason for those buildings to sit vacant because there's so much income potential. One of our clients / friends, for years he would buy large old houses and turn them into SRO. And with the income that he was making, he would rent to teachers who came to teach at the University of California at Berkeley. And they would be there for 2 or 3 years, and they would rent a single room from him and pay, $2,000 or $3,000 a month per room. So he created bedrooms in these places. And his original attack was to buy a, and he would pay full price. I got to tell you, he never quibbled over the price because he knew that he was going to make a lot of cash on that building. But he would buy a large old home in one particular, in what they call the gourmet ghetto of Berkeley. And he picked this house up in the air and he moved it to the back of the lot and set it back down on a new foundation. And then he dug a hole in front of the other of that house and put underground parking and brought another house that he bought around the corner and moved it around and set it on that foundation over the parking. So he was creating lots and lots of rental units. If you appraised that property, it was just 2 houses on a lot. It was effectively a duplex. But if you were appraising it based on its income only, and with his SRO and his ability to rent those rooms out like he did, it was appraising for $24 million. and it cost him less than $2 million. So a lot of this stuff is just the way you're looking at it. So you need to open your minds up and start thinking about other ways, things, think out of the box, other ways that you can put this stuff together and make sense out of it. But again, we've turned 8 studios into a fourplex. We've turned 5 and 6 units easily become 4 units. It's all about the zoning. I was driving through San Pablo early in this 203K career, and I saw a house that they had lifted. It had a chimney on the outside. They had to break it all off. Then the house was up about 3 feet in the air, and I walked over to the owner happened to be there, and I said, is this a 203K? And he asked, no, I don't know what that is. I said, oh, it's FHA, and what are you up to? And he says, well, we're putting a new foundation under this house, and this lot is a large lot, so we're going to build another unit across in the behind it there. We got plenty of room to build another unit. And I said, how many units is it zoned for? And he said, 4. I said, and you're going to lift this house 3 feet in the air. Why don't you lift it 8 feet in the air and put another unit there too? And the guy looked at me and he says, what do you do again? That's an excellent idea. He ran down and had the plans changed and had it approved. And next time I saw it, it was sitting up in the air, and they had a whole 2 more units below. And he took that oversized lot and he put parking for everybody and a gated, an automatic gate. So he made it a better property all the way around. So you can increase your housing inventory by taking small car houses and turning them in to larger homes. You can take a single family house with no foundation and build a foundation on it. Raise it up in the air. Years ago in Rodeo, California, I think this client of ours did about 20 or 24 little shotgun houses that were already there. They had no off-street parking and no garages. And what he did was he picked them up in the air and put a garage underneath them and a little living area to get up to the house, but like a front porch waiting area, but it was in the back of the garage. Had a front steps to get up to the upstairs. And he just did that over and over and over again. And nothing wrong with it, and it created his little niche. So if you have a foundation, maybe you've driven by a foundation for years. It's been sitting there on that lot, and no one's ever done anything with it. Well, why not? It's 203K. Likely a 203K. Give us a call if you have questions, and we'll be happy to answer those questions. Let's see what else I got. Oh, I'm going the wrong direction here. So live rent-free in America. That's a potential. Look for small houses on big lots. You can build a house on it. You can turn around and put units on it, possibly. Look for large old houses that you can divide or subdivide into fourplex, threeplex, twoplex, duplex. Is anyone getting their creative juices working yet? I hope so. Part of my job is just to get you to think, get you to think out of the box. When people tell me there's no inventory, then you obviously haven't heard of the REIA, Real Estate Investment Association. Do a Google search for REIA and your state, and you'll find it's probably anywhere between 1 and 20 or 30. If you're in California, you're going to find about 30 REIA units. And then go to those places. Sit down with them. Go in and join one of their meetings and pay the $35. Don't worry about it. It's going to be a good learning experience, and you need to pay for your education. So get in there and see what they have. I personally go in and ask if there's any real estate wholesalers in there, gather their cards and leave. But I want you to stay. I want you to stay and take a look and see what it is they do. And when they start lining up and telling you that you or what they do, get in that line and tell them what you do. When it's time to get up there and speak, you're entitled to get in that line and speak and just tell them, hey, I'm a realtor. I can help you sell these properties. I have buyers ready for looking for properties in these areas. So if you, and just inside the door on the wall, they're going to have houses they've just renovated. So you're going to look at those houses and see if there's any of them in your neighborhood that that might work for you, and make an offer. We're happy to be here. We're enjoying it. We're here to help you think out of the box. If you have something you want to run by us, feel free to give us a call. We prefer you did it on air, but if you want to call us directly, you can reach us on our contact information at my203kconsultant.com or 203konline.com, and join us when you can. We'll be back here next Sunday, 1 to 2 p.m., with some more interesting things to talk about with regards to renovation loans. So thank you for being with us. We enjoyed it, and we're here for you. So till next week, we'll see you later.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.